30.
You got to find the numbers. He hid the numbers on the page. You don't have to find them so easily. But they're there. Okay. The Gemara Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel. That define what is Mila. Ki Moko is the Mishnah in Shabbos. Osin Kol Tzoch Emilo B'Shabbos. Meaning whatever you do weekdays, you do Shabbos also. Osin Kol Tzoch Emilo. Mila is built in Shabbos. Morlin, Uporin, Umotzitzin. Okay. Mila, Ria, Mitzitza. If you read Pshat that way, you get wrong halacha. It's Morlin, Uporin, Kama. That's Mila. Umotitzin, Venosna Leo Espanus, Bekomon, and then you do something what a doctor does. Undo the damage. Then comes the food. Lo Shochak Meir of Shabbos, if he didn't grind up the common Erev Shabbos, nowadays every moral has some kind of secret concoction that they don't want to tell you about to help stop the bleeding. Lois Mishinov, not strongly recommended by microbiologists. Right? Since you can do Heksha Mila B'Shabbos, this now is Rufua. So you're stuck, you have to do something. Vinose, if you also put on some kind of concoction of wine and oil, you do it al deshinu, you don't emulsify it together, which is the best way, by beating it for a length of time. Here you just stir it a little bit. Look at the next omud. There's a line there. Omar HaPapa. Hai umno de lo maitz. Sakonahu v'avrinanlei. If a moel doesn't like the idea of making mitzitza, since they made mitzitza b'peh, then you just dismiss it. The pshita, naturally you have to. Why? He's a murderer. Midikor mechal aleh shabbata sakonahu. Since you mechal Shabbos, mitzitza is motzi dam. Motzi dam is an isur of what? You know, quick. What's the isur? Netilas neshama, like shchita. So isur lametes molochos under the general category of netilas neshama. Right? Remember the Gemara concludes that it's mutter to have relations for the first time on Friday night, to make a chasana on Friday, right? It has to find an excuse of dam mifkat poking, that is not considered to be mitila sashoma, because the blood is reserved there. I said pshat, I think proper pshat. Since Kadosh Baruch Hu intended for this blood to come out by every woman that God creates, then you can't call it Nitilas Neshama. It's obviously that dam was not intended to be part of the Neshama blood. Otherwise, Kadosh Baruch Hu would make it. Everybody should suffer a mortal wound. That's what it means. Dam Mipkapal. It was designated for this purpose, therefore, it's not part of the general Neshama. What do you see from here? It doesn't say you make mitzitzo because it's part of the milah. And halacha l'moshe misinai, we know with all the psukim, whatever you want to bring it, all the rayas, the fact is that milah docha Shabbos. So the milah and the priya, we'll define that for you a little bit better soon, is docha Shabbos because it's milah. I don't need any other excuse. Mitzitzah Zohar Shabbos because Pekuch Nefesh, not because it's part of Mila, because Sakonahu. Mahu the same, or you might have thought. Dam Mifkat Pocket. That the Dam of Mila is not considered to be Chilul Shabbos. Kamash Malon, no, Chaburi Mirbo. And therefore, v'dumya this planet is v'komo, and mitzitza is like the other curative steps that a moral takes. Kilo ovit sakonahu, achvanam kilo ovit sakonahu. Right, if you. Turn to page 114. I was hoping to have a moil here, but Abi Billet is in Florida. He thought he might make it, but he's in Florida. He's been our regular here. He may make it for next Thursday, so we'll postpone a demonstration. It's not much of a demonstration. We have good diagrams, and since no one is volunteering, so it's not going to be much of a demonstration. If you look on page 114, we'll run through what is this Mila? Okay. Any people with me? The glands, that's the organ of a Ben Yisrael. A goy has an addition to it, a purpose before the see the frenulum, it's attached on the bottom. You can't separate that. The mila involves removing that purpose. That's called priya. I'm sorry, that's called mila. And then on top of the glands, there's a thin mucosal layer. That's where the priya has to be. Priya is removal of a thin mucosal layer underneath the skin. Prepos has the same skin as the rest of the male organ. Underneath that, there's a thin layer. It's best visualize, if you can visualize there, a sock in which you have your toe, and then it's folded down like you're wearing on your foot, right? Where your toes are, that's where the organ is, that's the glands, On top of that is your folded over sock, that's the prepuce. If you go all the way over, right, past your toes, it looked like an ora ola. Underneath that, that ora ola is really a double layered thing. A mucosal layer and a skin layer. Nowadays, one of the big tumu that they like to make, besides the mitzisa point, which we'll discuss with you soon, is the need to do the priya bitziporen. Because that's the loshen. Loshen le gemara, pore bitziporen. The ola is cut off, decapitated. Right. And then, when you do that, since it's a double layer, you now it's single layers in front, two layers, you can grab the inner layer with the nail, and in the old days, and all the molim I knew, all had nails that were tapered in the shape of a triangle. They filed that nail, that nail a little longer, to serve as what we nowadays use, a forceps. It make it easy to catch the ora priya. But they developed another system. Not new. Rav Yankov Emden is meshabeach those molim who molin uporim bevasachas. Now you'll understand what the boil does. Who's been at a meal recently, I'll just show it here. But if you've been at a meal recently, if you paid attention, you'll know that the moil probes. He has a probe, a thin metal rod. He puts it in. What's he doing there? He wants to be moil upor abavasa. He doesn't want to make priya bitzipore. It's not easy. It's not sanitary. So what does he do? He puts the probe underneath the ora priya and separates it from the glands. He then can take a forceps and grab the ora priya and the ora ola together, pulls it forward, slips a guard over it, and cuts. There's no priya to make. I've been at Brissen, Siddish Brissen, where, because there were two molim, they machabed the second molim to make priya. One makes chituch, takes that ola, why? He leaves the ora priya, didn't separate the ora priya from the glands, leaves it, just cuts off the ola, the next molim comes over, and he makes priya. It's like sheva brochas, you divide the brochas up among the people. A lot of chuvis, whether you can do that on Shabbos or not. Shabbos, we possibly shouldn't do. Rav Yankov Emden is b'shabeach. Nowadays, it became a big tuvu. The chassidim all insist you must do ora priya, period. How? Only b'tzipora. It's part of the Talmudization of Judaism. What's the halacha on it? Look on page 45. Have a tshuva. My chair got out. I'm sorry, it starts page 44. Tshuva sin proof the name bin in pri im yochol asos be vasachas im amila. Look at page 45, the end of the tshuva, the paragraph before the last. Yechein mashma gam yisidu harav yavetz. Shekosav sheisha osin kein v'shibech shuzihirus v'lo hiskil sheli also came b'Shabbos. A comment that didn't deserve comment. I don't know why he bothered to do. The Gaon of Sidon began to tiny that if you don't do it exactly priya b'tziporin, then you mechal Shabbos. It's not a real meal. He says if it was so, then the Rabbi Yaakov Emden wouldn't have been mishabeach. The lashon there is hane bavloi mumchen heim demolin uporim bevasachas. He praised them that why it reduces the pain to the child, right? It's a good idea. Nowadays, I've seen molim, so-called chassidish molim, who are able to be molo porob of asachas without using a probe, by using the nails. Their nails are sharpened, they grab the or hapriya and pull it forward with the or ha'ola and cut it off, and the molo porob is out. They don't make, well, they did it with tzipora, so it's kosher. If you go back to the diagrams, okay, page 115. I've never seen a nolad mohu that Gemara talks about. At nolad mohu, I've asked, I've had contact with many more of them. If you ever come across one, please don't do anything till I see it. I want to see it, the nolad mohu. No such thing. Yaakov Avinu was nolad mohu, Moshe Rabbeinu. Kodesh Baruch Hu reserves that for special people. What they call Nolad Mohol, they talk about is what you have on page 115. And that's a common occurrence and a problem. Okay. That kind of Nolad Mohol, you'll see, has a real problem. Look at the first part of the diagram. It's an arrow. I put in there. That's the opening of the male organ. This one isn't so terrible. It could be lower down also. Then the boy could only urinate like a girl by sitting. Can't urinate standing, he would wet himself. That becomes a serious problem. But the problem over here is that the inner tube, the urethra, where the urine comes out, is not completed, didn't get to the end. It stopped short. That's why you have the opening on the ventral surface of the organ. So what do you do with it? That's a common shaila, one that Rabbonim have to understand. You have to delay the milah. Why? The only way you can repair this is by opening up the male organ and completing the tube to the end. Where do you get material to complete the tube to the end? A graft of skin. But we have no part of the skin of a male that does not have the potential for producing hair. If you took the skin, the only place you could find it is the palm of your hand. But then you would leave the donor with a serious scar. You can't remove the skin of the hand, nor would anyone give it to you. So what do? You use the boy's ola. But the ola has to be big enough then to be able to roll it up, to make a tube out of it, and attach it to the unfinished tube inside. That's how you cure or correct a hypospadia. That's what it's called. But then you may have to delay the bris up until about 2 years. That's fine. And then you'll get, if you're a rov in a community, you're sure to get someone to ask the shaila, but I can't name him then, because there's no bris, you can't name the boy. So he's called it, or he, right? No, you're allowed to name him, even though you don't make the bris. Bris under naming a child. Yeah. But that is necessary because otherwise he's really a balmum. So we allow to delay the bris. We'll have a Kohen Pesach. Well, you need to Kohen Pesach when you have a son that's not mohel.
The Or Hamila and Or Hapriya, those are two separate parts of the skin.
No, it's really the inner mucosal layer. Many, many areas of our body have skin. Underneath is mucus layer.
So the Or Hamila is the actual, is the outer?
The outer one is the skin. Skin like the rest of the organ has a skin. And then the front of it has this mucus. Now, that's why the goyim suffer from AIDS. I put in here someplace the announcement because of, you should know that Mila is under attack here and in Israel, where people, especially now in Israel, if you turn to page 131, I put it in, page 130, shows that the risk of acquiring AIDS, HIV, is halved by male circumcision. And suddenly, science came to the help of halacha. The Jews stopped doing mila. What I mean? Mount Sinai Hospital, right, reported last year that only 40% of the Jewish patients did circumcision. Obviously, not B'nai Torah there. Or Jewish patients, those who list their religion as Jewish. I'm sorry, I said last year, it's not true. I'm talking about year 2006. Yeah. This year, I just heard Mipi Ashmua that the rate is over 90%. Why? Because of page 130. Suddenly, Mila has a health value. Before that, it was a mutilation of a child. Now it has a health value. Why? Why is it that HIV is easier to get for a female than for a male? Easier meaning like tenfold, 20-fold higher incidence of exposure to HIV leading to an infection. Why? Because a female has mucosal layer inside. We don't have it. The virus can't enter. The virus won't enter through mucosa, can't enter through intact skin. The goyim have, underneath the preppers, they have mucosal layer. Shas tashmish, that layer was exposed, so the virus gets in. So they found out that by circumcised people, it's half the incident. How they find it? Those tribes in Uganda and so on that do circumcision, they showed that they don't use any better protection than the others. Their incidence of HIV is half of the others. Why? They have no mucosal layer for it to get in. So suddenly Mila became a health feature. So the American Pediatric Association, right, had already, after years of saying that it was a good idea. Why? Good idea because of something else. Underneath the olo, mucosal layer, there are glands that produce a substance called smegma, S-M-E-G-M-A. And the smegma is an irritant. Little boys, Goyisha boys, have to be taught personal hygiene, how to pull back on the olo and clean out that area, like waxing your ear. They don't, and they get inflamed and they have infections, problems, etc. They don't take care of them. That was one of the reasons that Goyim began doing Ola, removing the Ola. In the army, it's the most common surgery done in the army, where grown people decide they've been struggling with this personal hygiene problem. In the army, it doesn't cost any money. They do the circumcision. Now, how do you do the circumcision? That became a big problem in halacha. On page 116, you have the equipment that a moel uses. Number one is the probe. I said separates the o hapriya from the glands so that you can grab it with the forceps and pull it forward. Number two is the scissors, which he shouldn't have to use. No, two must be a forceps, sorry. You see from the top, it's a forceps. Okay? Number three is also a forceps. Number four is the mogging. Okay? Now, unfortunately, that name was also assigned by Rav Bronstein, who passed away already, Zichron Livracha, by Rav Bronstein to the Bronstein clamp because of the mogging. Bronstein clamp was assured by all the Gedolim. Explain to that in a minute. The Bronstein clamp is the same thing as the mogging for. I'm sorry, I don't have a previous years I had from a Dr. Moyle in my town who made Aliyah, took it with him. Dr. Kaur always give me this his mogain so I could show it to people. But it's nothing more than a regular mogain, but visualize that mogain with a lever where I can push the two pieces together.
118.
Yeah?
118.
I'm sorry? 118.
Page
118. Do I have a picture of it there? It doesn't show. The mogain clamp. I'll go right. Page 118. Okay, see, there's a lever. If you can visualize, it's the same mogain, but it's made so that the two sides can move. So by putting that clamp down, you put it together, and what do? So, a wise guy shtick. You call up the blood supply. Then it becomes bloodless surgery. The baby doesn't bleed. Right? You pull forth, put on the clamp, push on the lever, you leave it there for a few seconds, and then you cut against the mogging, and there's no bleeding. But more than that, that pressure fused together the O hapriya residual, which stays behind the atora, right? You know, so that there's almost no need for bandaging. Really, if you use a mogain, you don't need a bandage. Nothing's going to happen. That clamping compressed together. Everybody asked it on page 119. Oh, you have another picture of the mogain there too. You don't see it, but see. Hanessa Mikol Gdol Yisrael. Let me tell you, those who go into Rabbonis, you will find there are Molim who insist on using the Mogain clamp. They can't do Mila otherwise. They didn't learn any other way. Those who learned before the Intifada went to Eretz Yisrael to learn. Most Molim learned in Eretz Yisrael. Why? There was good clinical material. You made meal on the Arabs. Arabs were smart enough to know that you want good meal, you go to a moel, a Jewish moel. And therefore, they had a lot of children. And therefore, they were able to have a student. Without practicing, you can't be a moel. In the old days, how did a moel become a moel? Only if his wife had a boy. If he made meal on his own son, then it became a moel. When the Intifada, or maybe even a little bit before, that this supply of clinical material was no longer available. So that people learned here it's much easier to teach with a clamp, you know, to know so much less about care of the wounds and so on and so forth. So most of the moilim use the clamp, and especially if a moil is called to fly out to Texas and do mila b'shabbos, and he has to get back home because he has two jobs waiting for him on Sunday, and then you want to see the baby again post-surgically to see how the baby is doing, which every moil has to do if you use a standard freehand mila. The clamp is a major assist to them. They all use it. So I gave an etzer. The reason why the gedolim asked it is because it could be without hatofas dambris, and we know that hatofas dambris is an ikur in the mila. Without bleeding, bloodless mila is no mila. And since when you pull it forward, put on that clamp, there's no bleeding, mamish none, zero. Therefore, say, oh, but I don't have to do it that way. I can go ahead and clamp it, and immediately, don't wait a few seconds, then you'll get a little bleeding. But what we see is that usually it doesn't work out. So all the rabbanim starting in Eretz Yisrael asked use of the mugging clamp. The doctors, they make use of another clamp, and most surgeries that are done by the obstetrician, they're usually the ones who do it. The obstetrician who delivers the baby, usually on day two, day three, they make me. Those who want to be circumcised, not our people. Yeah. So they use the gum coat. And the Chuvis, both in Igos Moshe and the others, make reference to the Gamco clamp. Gamco clamp was designed by the Spanish Inquisition. Okay. It comes with several bells. The bell fits over the glands. What the doctor has to do is either slit, or sometimes he can fit underneath the ora pria, fit this in. Then he massages, he pulls the ora ola over this bell, puts it back into this contraption, and then screws down on it. By doing that, he compresses. This hangs from the baby, by the way, like you see it. It then compresses the ola and the ora pria between the bell and the body of the machine. He leaves it on sometimes for 20 minutes, and then takes a scalpel and cuts around here. And he's left with a neat circular. Our moilim don't do a circular cut. So it's not a perfect juxtaposition of the ora ola and the ora pria. Now I say juxtaposition, remember, the ora pria is there, is behind the corona. Look back at the first diagram. It's called the coronal sulcus. That, as you know from your own body, right? That's a cleft. Mila is you have to remove the ola ola up to that cleft. Behind it is the same ola ola and the ora pria. But now once it's behind, is galeho atora, that's called the atora. One is galatora, that's the maisimila. With this system, what's left is a perfectly fused circular wound that's been compressed together. It's a very nice system. It causes excruciating pain to the child. And all the years, nothing was done. for pain relief. We'll talk about that in a minute. Hello. Okay. Someone from El Chisot. Yeah, telling you there's a Shabbos guy coming to talk with somebody, I'm a Kubo or something. Yeah. The use of anesthetic, that's recent. I'm talking about the last 5 years. And on the market, there is a substance called Embla, which now a doctor is required to put on. It doesn't do a thing for the baby. It satisfies the requirement to use a local anesthetic. But all of this, it's a local anesthetic that doesn't produce any anesthesia. The only thing that works is two things. Page on page 121. On page 136. Okay. On page 121, that's something that all the old Moilim knew long before, what was it, Harvard came up with his bright idea that for reasons not fully understood, sugar water is a major pain relief to the baby. And all the old Moilim knew it, and they gave the baby some sugar water. Nowadays, I'm involved, I recommend, then indeed they do likewise. You're talking about using an eyedropper with a 40% solution of sugar and put it in the baby's mouth. The baby likes the idea. Yeah, seems to be a big help. Well, a better help is on page 136, local moral that we use in Muncie, Ravaron Fink, who runs one of the girls' Beis Yaakov schools in Muncie, among others, makes use of it. Our local pharmacist makes it up. It's the same lidocaine, novocaine, that the dentist uses to ease the pain when he has to work on the tooth, only it's a little higher concentration, about 30%, and it's in the form of a cream put onto the baby an hour before Mila. And I've had brisen already, where I was sandik, where the baby slept through the bris. Baby was asleep, didn't wake up when the mother re-diapered him, whatever it is, before the meal, and then they made the meal and the baby didn't budge. As if the mother did follow orders that an hour before bringing the baby into the shul, she smeared on this stuff. The Moilim don't like the idea. Moilim rarely use it because you're putting on a greasy substance. They have to clean it off then, because it's hard for them to work. Things will slip out of their hands and so on. So they don't like to be bothered. And the tiny is, which isn't an untrue thing, especially since they make the meal on the child, not on themselves, they claim it only hurts for a little while. It's a quick procedure. It's a quick procedure. So are many dental procedures. The dentist tells you, I won't give you a shot, it'll only hurt for a minute or so. You say, better give a shot. And there's a halacha here. I think you're dealing with an iso deraisa. To cause pain to a child when you don't have to, it's probably an iso deraisa. Lo sosif lahakoso is iso about there, we learn from Malchus, that's also to cause damage to someone else. Now the issue of Metzitza. If you'll, on page 134, this is not a new issue.
In terms of the Moalim, we still use the guard. Like, are those milas
the
dieved not good if there's been no?
You thought what?
Are those milas not good if the dieved there's no dam?
Right.
So how come all the moalim still use it?
Oh, I didn't finish. That's my recommendation. I have no answer to that question. But that's some seas. I've been present at Bila with not. There is no dam. Period. They claim they could do it without, but they don't. So that's why. Everybody asks the use of the clamp. But I mentioned to you about the poor Moalim who have to go, they're going doing a mitzvah. Many of them don't even charge for that. Some family on the verge of Judaism, on the fringe of Judaism. But Mila they want to make, there's no Moalim in the area, they fly out from California, they fly out from New York and so on. They're, and they have to use the clamp they clip. So I gave them a good eitzah, and I think it maybe evades the issue that all the rabbonim signed. And that is, the clamp, you see from the embargo, has these two teeth, the two sides of the clamp. You have them take a file and file a V-shaped on one of the teeth, on one of the jaws of the clamp. So then when they clamp it, this area, a small area, will not be compressed. It'll bleed from that area. Well, that's sort of a guarantee that they can't make a bloodless surgery. I think that is an eitzah to evade the issue that was really widespread, in fact, everybody signed, my shrel included, all the Bonham Eretz Yisrael started it, but all the poskim concurred. But that seems to be an evasion of that chumrah, of that isur. If you file a little spot in there, then you're sure that spot can't be compressed. Oh, sorry. Before I get to the mitzitza. Yeah, I want you to take a look at 135. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, in that case, the same mole doesn't do that. And so you have to do...
Make a tougher samples. Tougher samples is not a big deal. It's only a big deal in that without it, you're not mohu, right? You find a little isocoris, a minor problem, right? When you say a tophus d'ambris, it's not another surgery. A plain hypodermic needle pushed into the area of the atora to make a spit. Doesn't, no more than if you stuck yourself with a staple. It's not a big deal. You don't need a doctor to do it. A rov can do it all by himself. Even if he's not a moel. That's a tophus d'ambris, it's an easy thing. But it's a critical thing. Now comes, I just want to touch on it. I'm trying in two sessions to do all of Mila because Geirus is out of hand. Geirus exploded. It needs more attention. So I want to divide up four and two instead of three and three. Yeah.
I want to make sure that I understand correctly. The Ora Priya is not cut off.
I'm sorry?
The Ora Priya is not cut off.
Doesn't have to be cut off.
Well, so what happens to it if it's not cut off?
Just withers.
Just stays there. No. That's in general, when
that's why, if you look when you take a shower, that behind the cleft, there's usually a wrinkled up skin. It's a little bit more skin there than the rest of the gig. That's the That's the residual of the milah. They pushed it. I didn't read the text for you. You can't do that to Ora Ola. If I would do the same thing to Ora Ola, just peel it back, there'll be a good eitzah for these babies who need to delay their bris in order to cure the hypospadia. I could push it all back, tie it down, and the skin will remain viable. The blood supply won't be interrupted. That wouldn't be milah. Milah has to be umesiras ola. Priya is megale es ha-Torah. Nothing to do with mesiras ola. Okay? Therefore, the minig is, usually, those who do it in two steps, they will split it and then push it back past the cleft.
Does any of the ora priya need to be cut or completely?
No. Now, remember, this is important also to remind you, as the Perush HaRambam in Chulin and Daf Kuf says, remember, we do Mila not because of Avraham Avinu. We don't eat Gidanoshe not because of Yaakov Avinu. We don't eat Gidanoshe and we do Mila because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Tariag mitzvos nembo l'Moshe Misinai. Not Tariag mitzvos, but Tariag mitzvos. Avraham Avinu did not make Mila. Our boy made only Ora Ola, he says, below Ora Priya. There never was Mila by Avraham Avinu. It's very nice. He said, Lachisu bebrisu Avraham Avinu, but different standards of the bris. Avraham Avinu had no Priya, only Ola. We Paskins, by the way, giving out this handout here, it's Yosef Mimashe Kerosi Lefnechem Kosov Khan. It doesn't, the fact that I won't cover everything in there doesn't exempt you. You're supposed to cover everything in there. It's well worth your effort. Much of it reads well, although it's sloppy reproduction there, but it's good enough. If they didn't raise tuition this year, it's okay. One of the big problems today with Moalim is like the Rav Shkiroi Gaon says in Gittin Daf Samaches, medicine as recorded in the Talmud, in Hebrew translation from the Aramaic, it's Chachameinu heim velo rofeinu. If you don't follow the medicine of the doctors of the Talmud as recorded, but you go to a good doctor if you have a shaita. Likewise, Moaleinu heim velo rofeinu. There are moalim, not doctors. They don't know medicine. They don't know what they're talking about. But find me a moal today who do mila on a baby who's yellow. What's yellow? That's jaundice. This you have to understand because you have to fight a boil on this thing because he's over on an isu d'raisa. He matche milo bismano to milo shlo bismano. What? They have a kabole. That if the baby's bilirubin is more than 12 or more, they don't do milo till it drops below 12. Let me explain that to you what it is. That's the reference here on page 135. When a baby is born, the liver is not born yet. The liver becomes functional usually between day 4 and 5. Part of the job of the liver is to conjugate the bilirubin. As the bilirubin is a dye, looks like a dye, it's a chemical that is produced by the body. It becomes bile for digestion. Some of it is converted to hemoglobin. Until it is conjugated, until it's converted, it circulates in the blood. And some babies, maybe all babies, by day 5 look a little yellow. By day 8, some are yellow, some are not yellow. This has nothing to do with chole. That's the normal Kodesh Baruch Hu who made people that way. And therefore, if the pediatrician says the baby is healthy, nothing wrong with him, he's yellow, there are some babies who remain yellow until day 20, day 30. That's because the pigment was deposited in the skin. They look yellow. Yellowness doesn't prevent, otherwise a Chinaman couldn't become a girl. There's nothing there with the yellowness unless it's a pathological condition. According to the Pediatric Association, 18 is perfectly normal, as long as it starts dropping. I've had babies that hit 21, but on day 8, it dropped to 15, 16. Always above 12, no problem. Why? You know the liver has kicked it. If it dropped from 20 to 15 in a day's time, you know the liver began functioning. That's all you're worried about. Is the liver working or not? Sometimes, Rechmon Litzlan, a baby comes with a liver problem. But that's rare. So that jaundice is a problem. The Moralim refused to do at Bris after 12. There's usually a good solution to that problem. Tell the Moil you're going to get another Moil. And suddenly he's more happy to do the bris. There's no rational reason for it, yet it made it into the field. You ask around, if you have any, bump up into a moil and shul, you find above 12, no. He's a chole, and a chole is like kodem yom ches. You can't make mila on a chole, like you can't make a mila before the 8th day. There's nothing to do with Billy Rubin.
You mentioned above 21, usually doctors will say no.
Yeah, that,
sometimes babies are jaundiced because the mother is nursing. Well, the doctors will say, if you stop nursing the baby,
Here, it's not published any place, but I'll quote my father-in-law Zatzal. When he's told the baby's bilirubin is high, and the moral doesn't want to do the bris because it's above 12, but the baby is nursing, and we know that one of the hormones in the early milk of the mother prevents the liver from kicking in. And my Shrael Paskin should not stop nursing.
Continue
period.
Nursing.
Nursing for a baby is a kuch nefesh. Then if you have to delay the bliss, delay the bliss. But we don't interrupt nursing of a baby. Number two, it's nonsense. Nonsense meaning the doctors know that the reason is because the baby is nursing. Why are you playing around with a unit or two on the bilirubin? And there's no reason. In other words, there's no problem. It's the pediatrician who decides, is the baby behaving in a normative fashion? Is it a norm? I'll give you a statistic. In America, on day 5, the average bilirubin of a nursing mother, of a nursing baby, is 13.6. Well, it kicks in on day 6, 7, it goes down. But 13.6 is the norm. So for some baby, it stays on for another 2 days. That's the variation you expect in a biological creature. We don't have that. Kodesh Baruch made everybody exactly the same way. All you have to know is the doctors know it. They have their way of testing. There's nothing wrong with the baby. The baby is healthy. The baby is healthy, you have to make mila bismano. There's no reason for delaying it. Unfortunately, we have now such truths written from the Satna Poskim that if the only moil that they have is a moil who doesn't make mitzitza bepeh, which we'll talk about some a little bit more next time too, then you should delay the bris until you get a moil mitzitza bepeh. Plain amaratzis, nothing you can do about it. Mitzitza has nothing to do with the mila. Period. But I will show you now, we'll start on the mitzitza issues. You know, I was personally involved because I co-authored a paper on page 134. Yeah. I did some of the virus work on the paper, so I got my name in there. See, neonatal herpes symptom. What was the case there? There were 8 cases of babies who came down with herpes infection that was traced to the mohel who had herpes in his mouth, making his teeth to repair. That made a big tumult of so-called Muncie mohel, the mohel from Muncie. He wanted to know that that same mohel from Muncie, whom the New York City Department of Health ousted from doing mila if he does mitzitza prepare. So he ran around in New York, and he has a 16-year-old that he takes along with him, and the boy makes mitzitza. Yeah. In New Jersey, doesn't have that gzera. Last November, a baby that he circumcised also came down with cerebral herpes, which you don't know, the baby didn't die, but it's always a serious thing because the herpes causes severe brain damage. That Mishagas, we're not going to get out of, not in this generation, because it became a point of honor among the Hasidic communities, Dafke, to make mitzitza prepare. You should know, as I was growing up, as you were growing up, 99% of all Moalim did not make mitzitza prepare. They all did a tube. No reason why it has to, let's say, your lips have to touch it. You slip a glass tube, usually a 5 ml hypodermic syringe. The barrel of the syringe fits over nicely. You draw on that, you get better suction than you would playing with your mouth. But that's what the purpose is, to what, as the Rambam says, to draw blood from the more distant places. The idea of mitzitza, you should know, was a brilliant idea. There's no antiseptic, no antibiotic. So what do? There's no sterility, so they cut the baby with a non-sterile knife. If you read the history of medicine, a surgeon in the surgical theater would sharpen the scalpel on the shoe leather. No one knew anything about bacteria, about the gold. So a good way is if you have a free flow of blood, then you cleanse, you wash out the area. So you wash away the bacteria. That's the big issue of mitzitza. Nowadays, as we understand, you introduce the moel saliva, and some of the Chassidish moelim have that strange custom. They rinse their mouth out with a little bit of wine before they make the mitzitza. They do the chituch, baby's bleeding ready, take a sup of wine, and what I do with the wine? They spray it over the area. Standard practice. So they make sure that saliva gets into the wound. So here's a case of 8 cases with the children, and including one death. So we published this paper, had nothing to do with, not with Moalim. Nowadays, in the academic community, publish or perish, so you have to show publications. So my name is on there. That became the lightning rod on the business of mitzitza prepare. Yeah. Then all kinds of strange things happened. Yeah. To show what it is, the muscle power of the Chassidic community. And then a whole bunch of newspaper articles, etc., etc. More important, phone calls to my home 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, all night for 6, 7 months, right there. So we take our phone off the hook and before you go to sleep. But we didn't back down. It's also to make mitzitza prepare. There's no doubt about it. There's no reason to introduce a danger when the Gemara says clearly, mitzitza has nothing to do with mila. It has to do with shum sakona. And you show that fakert, that mitzitza nowadays. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch that was printed here, there was a time in the Gemara, and the Rambam still passing that way, that on yom shlishi lemiloso, you have to wash the wound with warm water. If there's no warm water, you're allowed to cook water on Yom Shlishi Limiloso. Shulchan Aruch already, not that much later than the Rambam, right? Already says no, it's also. And nowadays we don't believe it's necessary. The Yom Shishi Miloso was the din of Pekuach Nefesh. It changed. Mitzitza was the din of Pekuach Nefesh. It changed. Medicine changed. You don't do it anymore. There. Not the idea of making mitzitza repair, it just becomes irrational today. But become a point of honor, all the chassidus shemol and make mitzitza repair, except when they work with a family that's not Shomer Shabbos. And they don't do mitzitza repair. Why? Because of a tshuva of Aval Yosef. If you look at the tshuva Aval Yosef on page 113, one of the reasons why you can't ask Shilas just to anybody. They asked him, what about AIDS? What if a baby has AIDS? He says, of course, you mustn't make me teach to prepare because the moil will get AIDS. That's when the AIDS epidemic broke. Well, every non-Shomer Shabbos is choshed on AIDS in their mind. And therefore he writes that Moelim, when working on a place where there's a chash of AIDS, the Moel shouldn't make mitzitza repair. So you have here a strange psak. The Moel shouldn't make mitzitza repair for danger that he will catch AIDS. Never in the history of medicine did any Moel catch AIDS from a baby. But we've had now maybe more than 100 herpes cases of the baby getting herpes from the moel, and there Rav Yosef wrote the tshuva that it's also to change, you must make mitzitza prepare. Why? They got to him when the machlokas broke. It's not easy to present a shaila in such a way as to get the answer that you want. How did it develop? Indeed, when non-Shomer Shabbos family, there's a danger. Maybe they don't behave properly. If they're choshed on this, they're choshed on everything. So there, they don't make mitzitza repair. There, they use a tshuva. Halacha l'maaseh, I say, it's hard to defend mitzitza repair. But you have worthy opponents, all of Lubavitch, strong on mitzitza repair. The Satmar, of course, actually, all the chassidish, Chaisen, all of them, they're okay, a point of honor to make mitzitza repair.
Was that a bris where a modern Orthodox Moel did mitzitza repair? And I asked him why. He said on the way there that morning, the glass tube broke. So if that happens, what does the Rav suggest?
What many Moelim who make mitzitza repair began to do anyway. They slip a pad of gauze over the wound and then make mitzitza. There's a variable. There are Moelim, and you'll see it you have a copy here from Sefer Habris. There are Moelim who always made mitzitza by squeezing the skin around the wound with a gauze pad. They said that's also called mitzitza. Not prepared, but by the pressure of the gauze pad. Yeah. They've been playing, I say, 99% of Moelim never made mitzitza prepare in America. There's a few Chassidish Moelim did it. Now it's become a cause célèbre, so more and more people insist on mitzitza prepare, especially a Chassidish family. They want a chile b'chas mark their child forever as an Eina Mohel. They make Eina mitzitza prepare as no mila. You see in the discussion of the Tshuvas, right? In the Tshuva of the Igas Moshe, he had to defend whoever said the Mitzitza is not. Now there's an Avnei Nezer there, which we will pick up, who says Mitzitza has nothing to do with Mila. But don't you dare not make Mitzitza prepare anyway. On page 40, we'll take a quick look at it. Right. Prepared, I would say a little longer, but I want to, there's something being done in honor of Louis Feldman, in first of all, 535, I want to stop in the Chodo. We've been together for so many years. So yeah, in Simon Shin Lamed Ches, in the Avnei Lezer, right? Yitzitza, is it me'ikur chiyuv mitzvus mila? Tshuva, of course not. Yitzitza has nothing to do with mila. Okay, no, that's good. He's on our side. He happens also the grandfather of my son-in-law, so he certainly would vote with me, right? But look at the end. Look on page 43. The Afriti Tam Hasheni. You'll have to read the whole thing. Mihu, you got the place? On page 43, the last paragraph. Mihu Asher Yeshbo Shorish V'Nitzus Yisroel V'Omdu Avosov Al HaSinai She'igra Bonu Mimitzvahs Mitzitza Asher HaMekubolim Kosvim Sodos Noroz Eichu Matzal Nefesh Yisroel Mikol Ro. Right? Vein Lashgir B'Mash Omrim Sheper HaMoel Yazik Kishluchi Mitzvah Einu Nizokit. So now we have Rav Yosef Shuvah, right? What's the halacha of Shluchi Mitzvah Einu Nizokin? That means the baby is Nizok, right? But the boy is Nizok, even though it's a Shluchi Mitzvah. Right? So therefore, a moel can avoid making mitzvah prepare if he's worried about himself. By worrying about the baby, no, there's Shluchi Mitzvah Einu Nizokin. You have to worry about that. You get caught in that thing. And we'll stop here.
Thank you very much.